From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
I'd like to thank Square for sponsoring today's show. We all know Square to be a company that's one of the best stewards of open source in the Android community. But what some of you might not know is that they also have a pretty solid presence in the developer community at large. Just recently, they started a new YouTube channel just for developers at youtube.com/squaredev. And the YouTube channel looks pretty good. They have detailed videos explaining how one would use different SDKs like Python and Ruby to integrate their different products and services. And if you're curious about their different products and services, they basically have a bunch of APIs and SDKs to make taking payments easy. They also have payment forms if you want to quickly embed a checkout experience into a website. And not only that, Square supports iOS, Android, Flutter, and React Native for in-app mobile payments, or if you want to integrate their very famous Square Reader into your own app. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff in their new developer channel. They're starting to add a lot of these tutorials and a host of other videos too. Check them out at the new channel, and that is at youtube.com/squaredev. So youtube.com/squaredev. My thanks again to Square for sponsoring today's show. Let me ask you, do you use a base activity in your class these days? The answer is probably yes. I've very rarely seen moderately big apps extend app compat activity like directly these days. But is that the right approach? Inherently, that means we're going the inheritance versus the composition route. And isn't the composition route supposed to be better? Are there alternative approaches to this problem? It's weirdly one of those things that most of us almost take for granted because we're like, oh my God, I'm just creating a new activity, extend whatever the base activity I find in my other classes, and then just move on with building my functionality. But I haven't actually seen a lot of like discussion or discourse on this out there about different strategies, like approaches. Is this even like a good thing to do? Should you not be doing this? What other alternatives do we have? So in this episode, I'm going to try and answer this specific question. Should you use base activities in your class? Let's start with the basics. What exactly do I mean by a base activity? I mean probably what you're thinking. You create an abstract class, you probably call it just that, base activity, or you call it like core activity, or sometimes I've seen that in different apps, they use like the initials of the app. So, you know, if I was the Instacart app, I would say IC activity and use that as my base class. If it was a movie search application, then I would use MS activity. You get the point. Now, this base class would have functionality that you typically want repeated in every single activity of your application. Let me repeat that again. Say I have functionality that I want repeated in every single screen or every single activity in my application, then I would put that functionality inside this base class. Let's step back and try to think, what kind of functionality would this be, right? Like, when would you ever need code that is literally repeated in every single activity of your screen? The most basic one I can think of is logging. Say every time I have an activity pop up, I want to throw in a debug log statement. You know, if I'm using a library like Timber, every time there's an onCreate, onStart, onStop, you know, onDestroy, I put the name of the activity and I put that tag or that label of the lifecycle. This can be incredibly useful. And personally, I found it really useful, especially in at times when I have crashes or like I look at my, you know, roll bar, I look at Crashlytics, Firebase, Crashlytics, all of these, they tend to have these features called breadcrumbs. And what I do is I leave these as breadcrumbs. So that way, every time I notice that my crash stats are going a little like in the red, I open up those crash metrics, I look at the breadcrumbs, and boom, right there I can see, you know, the activity where I noticed or observed this crash. And this can end up being incredibly useful. So logging is definitely one set of requirements where we find this very useful. Another similar argument can be made for analytics if that's like what is required out of your application. Sometime you want to see engagement, how long is like a user has been on a specific activity or not. And again, this is functionality that you need to add in every single activity. Boom, you put it in the base activity, it's available everywhere. But I actually ran into a very specific requirement in the application that I was working on, where I needed to add functionality into every single base activity. And I'll try to give an equivalent example. Say you're building like the Uber driver app, right? So like Uber has riders and drivers. If you call an Uber taxi, then like that, you're probably a rider. But the actual folks driving the Uber, they use the driver app, right? And as a driver, every time I use the app, say if the backend or like, you know, whatever, some kind of logistic systems that Uber has, they find a ride for me or they assign a ride, they probably do something like they send like a push notification to the device, and that device notices that push notification and then says, oh, you got a ride. Okay, so pop up this activity that says accept ride, you know, so let's just call that the accept ride activity. There are obviously different ways one can implement this. I don't actually know if Uber does this way. Like, I don't know if they're using a push notification. They could maybe use something like WebSockets that has like an open stream connection that listens every time they have a new ride. That can seem a little expensive, so I don't necessarily know if they do it that way. But I can tell you, when I had to implement something very similar for like Instacart, eventually the route I went was, I would get a push notification, I would store the payload in a local database, and in every single activity of my application, I would basically have like an observable hook into this database. So anytime that table got a new record, I would, you know, if I was using Room or SQL Delight, I can have like an observable on that specific table to see the latest ride that was assigned. And in every single activity, I would basically hook into this database and observe if there was a new ride. If there's a new ride, boom, pop up this new screen, right? So I would need to launch this whole new accept ride activity every time I noticed that there was a new ride. And this was functionality that needed to be present in every single screen of the app. And this is sort of extremely critical, because if that is like the most important part of the app, one would assume, right? So say I was in like the help screen, it doesn't matter. If I get a ride, I need to launch the accept ride screen, right? If I was on the dashboard, if I was like, you know, on the settings, changing my profile picture, that like is definitely much less crucial to the point of accepting a ride, right? Because that means there's a customer waiting there. You need to go get this done right away. So it's crucial functionality that needs to exist in the app for such purposes. At Instacart, like for the shopper app that I work on, like we had the same functionality, right? Like if you have a new order that is placed, and you know there's a customer who has like placed a new order. I'm obviously simplifying some aspects of how this works, but basically, we know there's a new order that needs to be fulfilled. We send it to like who we call like our drivers, but we call them shoppers. They immediately observe that there's this new order and go fulfill it, right? So in the app that they use, every time that they have an order, we launch this new screen saying, hey, here you go. I'm not going to go into the details of like the functionality, because that isn't like relevant to the point I'm trying to make here. But there's always functionality that you might expect in every single screen of your app. I'm pretty sure you've also run into very similar requirements, right? Say, I don't know, you have a really important message that needs to be shown like as a banner throughout the app, where it's very important for the user of the app to acknowledge this message. If they don't acknowledge this message, then you have to keep popping it up as like a notification or like a banner or something. So in this case, you need functionality to be injected across every single screen or every single activity in your application. So I know you've been like silently and patiently listening to me, but you probably have a ton of questions, opinions, comments. I'll try to get to these one by one. The first comment that you might have is, this is only a problem if you architect your app in a way where you have multiple activities. So say you don't use multiple activities, you're super cool, you use like a single activity and multiple fragments or multiple views. Well, yes, in that case, you are right. You probably don't have this problem because you only have a single activity, so you would just put it in there. And that makes sense. But most apps that at least I've worked on realistically have at least 4 to 5 activities or screens. Moreover, if you're already in the position where you work on an app where you already have 4 or 5 activities like me, you're going to run into this problem, because after a certain point, anytime you create a new screen or activity, like, you're not going to want to like manually write this functionality and repeat this code, right? The second question or comment, and I think this is like the big one that most folks might have, is like, wait, why don't you favor composition over inheritance? Item 2, I think, from Joshua Block's book, Effective Java, basically says literally that, favor composition over inheritance. And again, even Don did an episode, I think it was episode 16 on Fragmented, where he basically says like the same thing. He like explains that point. So here's the thing. Yes, I'm all in favor of composition over inheritance. In fact, I actually tried this. I thought I got all the way where I could get away from using any notion of inheritance and only use composition. In this case, the place where we're using inheritance, just to clarify, is that the base activity would be like an abstract base class, and every single activity, say like my feature A, would extend this base activity and then have to like implement the functionality, whatever leftover functionality is there in the abstract class. So that's the part where we have the inheritance problem. So let me try to explain. Now, some folks are already screaming. I can hear that. They're like, oh my God, this is why we had like the architecture components lifecycle observer. This is exactly why they brought it in, and this is exactly what you should be using. To which I would respond, sure, the lifecycle observer has the code that you would write inside like the different lifecycle calls, right? Like on create, on start, on stop, on destroy, on destroy. But the trouble is that the actual code where you insert the observer, you know, that piece where you say lifecycle.add observer and put in the observer, that still has to be repeated in every single activity in that case, right? You can't avoid that part. Like, it, even though the functionality you write is written in this observer and you add that observer, that's the composition part. And that's beautiful. That's great. I do that too. I keep the exact same thing. But you still need to write the code to add that observer, right? That one line that says lifecycle.add observer needs to be written everywhere. And that's the part we are trying to avoid. So if you did have like a base activity, that's where you would slap that one line. So your base activity would actually be pretty light, but it would have that lifecycle.add observer call. And if you had more functionality that you wanted to tack on, like say you had like, you know, an accept ride observer functionality, you would add that. If you had like a logging functionality, you know, the thing that I talked about, like the on create, on start, breadcrumbs, all that stuff, you can have another logging observer. So in your base activity, I would see then 2 lines. A second line where I, again, compose or add like another, compose that functionality by adding another observer. Now, if you're an old school Android developer, then you might actually think there's a way out. And I almost did too. And this is the part that I was like alluding to before. In your application object, there's actually this really nifty method called register activity lifecycle callbacks. And I'll actually drop a link to the documentation. In theory, this is exactly what I would have needed to completely avoid the inheritance problem. I could have gone coupled with this register activity lifecycle callback method and the architecture component lifecycle observer stuff that we have, I would have been golden. I wouldn't have needed the base activity. So in theory, this would work. And the way it would work is basically you have like this, your own application object, your custom application object. You basically in that register an activity lifecycle callback handler in this app at the app. So remember, this is at the application object level. Now, every time you have an activity inside that app go through any specific lifecycle callback, it will be sent back into this thing that you've registered at the application level. So you see, this is where, going back to what I talked about, in my register activity lifecycle callbacks method, I would pass in an object that would in turn add the different observers that I care about. So I don't actually have to extend a different activity. Just because I've put this at the application object level, it would apply to all my activities. I even tried this. There's only one small problem. in the vanilla path, everything would seem perfectly okay. So I would use like my app like a normal user without any crazy weird life cycle scenario. Everything worked golden. It was perfect. But in slightly more rigorous testing, which you typically have to do as an Android developer, things started to kind of break down. So for example, if I simulated like an application death in the background, so like I would put my app in the background and then like, you know, in my emulator simulate an application death, when I launched the app again, I would run into problems. A much easier way to like simulate this problem was if I just background the app and clear my data, like which, you know, if you hold long click the application, clear the data. And then when I open the app again or relaunched the app, what I noticed was that the timing sometimes seemed weirdly off, or like when this register activity lifecycle callback thing was called. Moreover, sometimes it just wouldn't work. For some like strange reason, like the register activity lifecycle callback would just not be registered. And that's kind of a problem. Like, and it was super weird. All I had to do is like kill the app, launch the app again, and then things would start to work again. So all these kind of weird scenarios are difficult to sort of address and handle. And after like all of like these kind of random bugs and reaching out to like some folks that I know, even like many folks on the who work on the Android team have confirmed that this register activity lifecycle callback thing is not exactly recommended anymore. So they don't advise on using it. So all that to say, there are times when the whole composition, the pure 100% pure composition approach just won't work. And in those cases, you unfortunately have to resort to using a base activity. So I just want to like say this. This is like important piece of information. Like if you've used the register activity lifecycle callback and it kind of works for you, then you should check these different scenarios I've mentioned and see if it still works, because it definitely didn't work for me at least. And so there's like weirdnesses around how these things work. But I will say this. If you go the base activity route, as I am proposing, you'll really need to button it down, because the big, big problem with using a base activity is that it makes it so easy to just make this thing like this global god Goliath class, right? You can just start to throw in functionality. You're like, oh yeah, this would be nice to have in my activity. Maybe I'll just like throw a tracking call there. And eventually what you will notice is like this massive 50 or 500 line like class that has like a bunch of gibberish. So the way I've resorted to doing this is, as I mentioned before, I do have a base activity. It's like an abstract class. But if you actually open up my base activity and look at it, I literally compose any functionality I need by way of using the new lifecycle observers. So if I have like a banner functionality, then you'll notice that I have a line of code that says lifecycle.addObserver, banner observer. I have like lifecycle.addObserver, logger observer. Lifecycle.addObserver, accept ride observer. So that's the only code that would exist in my base activity. The advantage with this approach is that each observer is very distinct. So if you feel like some of this functionality needs to be removed or moved, all I have to do is just boom, delete that single line of code, just take that observer functionality out, and you know that piece is removed. So it's very easy to maintain this base activity, and there isn't that fear of it growing into this gnarly spaghetti ball mess. Also, again, I've said this many times in the past, and I still believe very strongly in this. One of my favorite principles of programming is writing code in a way where you can optimize to delete. So write the code in a way where you think that this should be written in the most easiest way so that I can actually delete the code. And if you adopt that principle, this is a beautiful way where it applies. With this composing observer functionality, it's very easy to remove functionality. Moreover, each observer, when you look at these observers, they have very singular purpose and they can be reasoned about very independently. They don't start to like clutter and like mix different kinds of functionality. So that should pretty much round off this episode. The question I started off with today was, should I use a base activity? And unlike many questions or most episodes where the answer is like, oh, it depends, or you know what, do what is right for the situation you're in my mind, this one is really straightforward. If you need functionality to be repeated in every activity of your app, and you're not using a fancy single activity, multiple fragment view kind of architecture, the answer is a resounding yes, user-based activity. You can't escape the fact that you'll use inheritance everywhere now. Every time you create a new activity, you'll have to extend this base activity. So in that way, you are using inheritance. But you can use composition in order to add the functionality that you need in a more maintainable way. The other thing that I actually didn't spend too much time on is when you have multiple modules, because all of this is like a single module kind of approach that I was thinking. But in typical apps these days, you have multiple modules. This becomes like a little more tricky. But in these cases, what I again do recommend is you should have like a core or base or whatever you call it, shared library module where you would house your base activity class. So then you can have, when you create new features, you would depend on this shared module, which I think you would do anyway. And if you remember a few episodes back where I talked about where you would place your database object, you can adopt like a sort of similar approach. And you can use this base activity, create your functionality, and be on your way. I'm not going into too many of the details. If you folks have more questions about how you manage this specifically in the multiple module world, let me know. But I think it should be sort of straightforward. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know what your thoughts and comments are on this subject. If you've run into similar problems, I'd love to hear more. Like, please do reach out to me on Twitter. It's weirdly one of those things. This is one of those questions that most of us have almost taken for granted. It's like, it's not something that we explicitly talk about or discuss in great detail. So I wanted to like throw this question out there. And I'm actually curious to like find out what your options are. Do you use a base activity? Do you not use a base activity? How do you circumvent this functionality? I look forward to your comments on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode. I want to take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for this show, Square. Head on over to their new YouTube channel, Just for Developers, at youtube.com/squaredev. That's the new channel where they talk about integrating a lot of their APIs and services. They also have some pretty cool videos on developer topics in general. I checked out this site and found myself watching their developer video on item potency. It's a pretty cool video, so you should check it out if you're curious about the topic. Anyway, my thanks again to Square for sponsoring today's show. Please do check out their new YouTube channel, and that is at youtube.com/squaredev. So SQUAREDEV. Thanks again, Square. That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.